like to welcome to the PodMD studio Dr. Alan Matern. Dr. Alan Matern is a shoulder and elbow orthopedic surgeon. He specializes in arthroscopy, joint replacement surgery, and traumatic conditions affecting the shoulder and elbow. Today, we'll be discussing the topic of frozen shoulders. We do hope you enjoy this podcast, but please remember that the advice here is of a general nature and is not intended as specific advice about a given patient. The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the doctor, not PodMD. If you do have a patient on whom you require specific advice, then please seek advice from a colleague with appropriate expertise in that area. Owen, thanks for talking with us on PodMD today.
Thanks for having me.
The topic of today's discussion is frozen shoulders. Alan, can you describe for our listeners what a frozen shoulder is?
A frozen shoulder, otherwise known as adhesive capsulitis, is a condition that causes both stiffness and pain in the shoulder. Patients will have a loss of both active and passive range of motion with associated pain, which can often be quite severe, particularly at nighttime. It's caused by an inflammatory-based thickening and scarring of all the connective tissue around the shoulder joint, and this scarring generally affects the glenohumeral capsule, the ligaments around the shoulder joint, as well as the rotator interval. It can be quite a disabling condition for patients, with pain often being very severe and the stiffness significantly affecting patients' activities of daily living. Frozen shoulder can have a prolonged course, usually lasting for 18 to 24 months from the onset of symptoms.
How would a patient initially present with a frozen shoulder that is beginning to freeze?
So pain is often the first symptom that patients complain of. It can start as a gradual onset, but often by the time they present for medical attention, it can be quite severe, often at night as well. The pain will often affect sleep and can usually be out of proportion to any x-ray findings or any other imaging findings you see. The loss of range of motion may not become apparent for some months after the onset of the pain. Therefore, a diagnosis of frozen shoulder should always be considered in a patient who's got a painful shoulder out of proportion to their clinical or their radiological findings.
How does it develop to a fully frozen shoulder?
So a frozen shoulder progresses through three stages. The initial stage is the freezing or inflammatory stage, and that usually lasts for somewhere between 3 to 6 months. This is the painful stage we've just described. The shoulder is usually very sore, affecting the patient's sleep, and any movement of the shoulder irritates it and also causes pain. The shoulder then progresses to the frozen or the stiff phase, and this often lasts for somewhere between 6 to 12 months. Often the pain will settle and it'll only become present at the extremes of movement, but the range of motion of the shoulder is often markedly decreased, especially in the rotation, and this can have a severe limitation on patients' abilities to perform their activities of daily living. Finally, the third stage and final stage of the frozen shoulder is the thawing or resolution stage. The pain is usually well controlled by this, and the range of motion is slowly improving, allowing patients to perform more of their activities of daily living. Most patients will enter the resolution stage somewhere between 9 to 15 months after the onset of symptoms, and the resolution stage will usually last for about 6 months.
What causes a frozen shoulder?
So we know there's two main types of frozen shoulder. The most common type is the primary or idiopathic frozen shoulder, and this is characterized by a deposition of all the scar tissue cell types such as fibroblasts and myofibroblasts in the capsule, the glenohumeral ligaments and the rotator interval. We don't actually know why this occurs, but some patients do report having a minor preceding injury. We know there are some patient factors that increase the risk of developing this type of frozen shoulder, and there can also be a strong family history of it. But as I said, the etiology of what causes it were unclear. We also know post-traumatic or post-surgical changes can cause a frozen shoulder, and this often occurs after a fracture or injury of the shoulder girdle, such as a clavicle fracture or a proximal humeral fracture, or following surgery of the shoulder, such as a rotator cuff repair. This usually isn't as painful as an idiopathic frozen shoulder, and the recovery can be much quicker from this type.
Who is predisposed to getting a frozen shoulder?
Yeah, so a frozen shoulder usually presents in the 40 to 60 year old age group. It is more common in women and has a really strong association with diabetes, both type 1 and type 2. One of the first things that we should always check in a patient who presents with idiopathic frozen shoulder is whether they have an undiagnosed type 2 diabetes. As we know, frozen shoulder only occurs in about 3% of the general population, but up to about 20% in diabetics. Other conditions associated with frozen shoulder include thyroid conditions, a history of Dupuytren's disease and Dupuytren's contractures, Parkinson's disease, and any atherosclerotic diseases as well.
How can you manage or treat a frozen shoulder?
So we know most frozen shoulder improves with time, but it can be a really long and difficult and painful period for patients. The primary goal and the first line of treatment is to improve a patient's pain relief. And this is done by simple analgesics such as paracetamol and anti-inflammatories, and a gentle exercise program, because something too aggressive with too much stretching can certainly flare up their pain. The next stage to improve their pain is to consider getting a glenohumeral joint injection. Subacromial injections don't address where the pathology is and often are unsuccessful. The two types of injections we can perform are a local anesthetic and steroid injection or a hydrodilatation. Local anesthetic and steroid injections can help alleviate the pain but often won't help the stiffness, whereas hydrodilatations aim to improve the pain as well as improve the range of motion by stretching out the capsule, and they can be very effective in some patients. An early glenohumeral injection, either a straight corticosteroid and local anesthetic or a hydrodilatation, can both be really effective early forms of analgesic agents for the patients, especially those who are struggling with pain. Finally, though, surgery is a very good solution. An arthroscopic capsular release can be performed, and this has been shown to be extremely successful. It gives patients excellent pain relief and return of a range of motion really quickly, and they get significant improvements in their functional activities after surgery. A recent study in the UK found that movement and pain relief with surgery was better than after a hydrodilatation. And it is shown to be especially useful in those patients who have had an unsuccessful hydrodilatation.
So when should a GP refer?
So patients can be referred at any time. As some patients may choose a non-operative management pathway, an injection or a surgical release. Generally, if a patient has ongoing pain and symptoms following injection or a hydrodilatation, then a referral should be made, as should patients who've had any prolonged symptoms. The key, like with most conditions around the shoulder, is education. Patient education and an ability for them to make an informed decision over their prognosis, time frame, and treatment is really the key to a good outcome. And so that's the key to when the referral needs to be made.
Is it often recurrence, or is it something that you can pretty much get rid of?
No, so recurrence doesn't really occur in a frozen shoulder. Once a shoulder has been managed and treated, it usually will not freeze again, but we know up to about a quarter of people will develop frozen shoulder in their contralateral arm. And so whilst it won't come back in that same shoulder, the chance of them getting it in their other shoulder is quite high.
Thank you for your time here today in the PodMD studio. To sum up for us, could you please identify the three key take-home messages from today's podcast on frozen shoulders?
Yes, so the first one really is frozen shoulder can be quite a hard diagnosis to make. And for me, it's one of the diagnoses I consider in any patient who has severe shoulder pain and night pain out of proportion to what I'd expect on their X-ray or ultrasound or MRI findings. The second point is for pain relief, injections have a really good result in alleviating pain and stiffness, and this should be done early in the disease process. Surgery can provide a quick and reliable improvement in pain and in range of motion. And so that's really the last take-home message. Don't be afraid of an operation here. It's a really good solution for these patients.
Thanks for your time and the insights you've provided.
Thanks, Sean.